turn to Matthew chapter 16 again. I'm going to read these verses, but today I'm going to read a few more. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I read those verses last week. But now listen, from that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned, that is, Christ turned, and said unto Peter, this is the same Peter he'd just spoken to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Couldn't have been moments earlier. "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, as I told you last Sunday, this Sunday, I want to talk about the rock of the church. The rock of the church. Now, you ready? The rock of the church is not mentioned as such in this passage. The rock of the church is not mentioned as the rock of the church in my text. The church is comprised of many rocks. Did you know that? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," and as I usually point out when I read that verse, the reason is because they're so prevalent in us. That's why we got to lay them aside.
Yes, sir.
Most people think, or under the false impression, that when God saves you, all of these things are gone. It's just not so.
Right.
That's why you got to lay them aside, because they're still there. If they weren't still there, you wouldn't have to lay them aside. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, if you haven't, as Joe was ably pointed out, these things would be grievous to you. And I concur with Joe. Years ago, when I was in religion, other than a few little spurts and fits, most of the time doing what I was supposed to do that was called Christian was a chore. Well, I got to do this. But after God Almighty saved me, it was a delight and a pleasure to even think I could possibly do any of those things. "If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming," that is to the Lord, "to whom coming as unto a living stone," not just the rock. We will see he is a rock. "But unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men." Yeah, that's true. Still true today.
Yes, sir.
"Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." There's the living stone. It's an odd statement, but nevertheless it's true. The living stone, ye also,
yes,
as lively stones.
Amen.
Do not think of the church as a stick house. Yeah. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
A stick house is one, you set up a foundation, usually a block or whatever, set on concrete, then you build the rest of it out of wood. Two befores, has walls, yeah. All of that. The church of God is a stone building.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's a stone building. He is the living stone, and we are what? Lively stones. Amen. Even we, the people Peter's writing to.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a what? A chief cornerstone. You see that? Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Who is that chief cornerstone? That's Christ. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, we don't, in other words, we don't need him in the foundation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't need him. Right. But unto you there which for which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
Amen.
And a stone of stumbling, and a rock, there you see the word rock, Petra, a rock of what? Of offense.
Amen.
A rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, and it says, whereunto also they were appointed. Who appointed them to this? God did.
Amen.
Behold, I lay in Zion this kind of stone and this kind of rock. That's just the way it is. But ye are a chosen generation. Aren't you glad there's a but ye's out there somewhere? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous lights. Therefore, as I say again, the rock of the church, the rock of the church, is not mentioned as such in the text for this morning. The rock, the church rather, is comprised of many rocks,
yes, sir.
Many stones. More properly, I should say. In our text, Christ mentions Peter, Petros, and Christ mentions this rock, that is this Petra. But he never speaks of the rock. Now, beware when making haste to refute error. I didn't say beware refuting error. I didn't say, definitely didn't say not to refute error, but I said beware when making haste to refute error. Most of you know that this passage in Matthew chapter 16 is the touchstone for the Roman Catholic Church's teaching that Peter was the first pope.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't teach anything like that.
No.
But I'm here to tell you, it still does teach that Peter is this rock.
Yeah. There you go.
Peter is this rock. And yet Protestantism, most every commentary you will read by a Protestant, somehow is trying to make what Christ said, and thou art Petros, and upon this Petra, that somehow he meant somebody or something different other than Peter. And for years I even struggled with that. That Christ was referring to himself as the Petra, rather than Peter as the Petros. But the two words are of the same source. And then you read some of the commentaries and they say that the word Petros, Peter's name, is derived from Petra. But as I looked, Petros is the primary word. It's the primary word. Beware when making haste to refute error. There's two reasons why. One, you may miss the truth yourself when you make haste. This is not about just trying to prove the Roman Catholics are wrong. And as long as I prove the Roman Catholics are wrong, and as long as I'm saying Christ is the rock of the church, then everything's honky-dory. That's true. But that's not what Christ was teaching here. That's the first. You may miss the truth. But in making haste to refute error, you may also create an error of your own. That's the two reasons why you have to be careful about making haste in refuting error. Now, of course, there was no promise to Peter here as a future pope.
No, you're right.
And certainly there is no hint at papal succession.
No.
is there? I mean, they had none of that's here. But Peter is told he would be this rock. I struggled with that for years. I was always trying to know Christ meant this rock. He was really talking about himself. It don't work that way. You read this. Have you struggled with this? Do you read this and say, it sounds like he's talking about Peter to me. And then you read the commentaries or you hear what some preacher said. And they say, well, no, Christ is the rock, not Peter. No, Peter's the rock Christ is talking about here. It's that. Read it. When you first read that, what do you see? He's talking to Peter. He even goes so far as to say, and I will give unto thee.
Yeah.
And that's a singular thing. I will give unto thee the keys. Who? This Petros, who is going to be the Petra. That's what he says. And it's so liberating when you bow to the Spirit of God rather than trying to force your understanding upon the text.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So there was no promise here to Peter as a future pope. A pope is supposed to be infallible. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at Peter.
Yeah.
Right after this, what did he do? No, Lord, this ain't going to be unto you. He says, actually said, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Be it far means this is hilarious. Hilaros, something along that line. This is hilarious, Lord. It ain't going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And Christ had just told him, though, thou art Peter. Thou art Petros, and upon Petra I will build my church.
Yeah.
Now, although this is true, as I say, yet the commentators force their meanings on the text just trying to refute Rome.
Yeah.
Either Peter's not, Christ wasn't really meaning Peter, he meant himself, or, and I've even been there. I'm not trying to be hypercritical,
yeah.
or Christ meant what happened to Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to thee, but my father, that's the rock he was referring to, or the confession he made. All of these things are sound.
Yeah.
They're all true,
yeah.
But they don't take away from who Christ was talking to here. As a matter of fact, as I began this study, and I began to read the commentaries, I began to be more confounded than I ever was. Because when I looked at the actual linguistics and the grammar, I realized that I have to force that meaning upon this text and abandon the linguistics and the grammar of the Greek and the English.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, linguistics and grammar deal with several things, but I'll give you four of the main ones here. Morphology, it means the meaning of words and sometimes how they change. There is syntax, that's the way words relate to one another. There is phonology, the way they sound. And in the Greek, it's very important because words, certain other words are derived from single words. They didn't just come up with new words, they just added to the same sound to express more detail or whatever it might be. And there's also semantics. The more I studied these things, the more I realized when Christ said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and this rock, there is but one nearest antecedent, and that is Petros. You can't go back all the way up to the, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto thee. You can't go all the way back up. The Greek don't allow it. Now, while Petra is masculine, and this rock both is feminine, and the general course, the general rule in the Greek is, the gender of words had nothing to do with sexuality. It had to do with words association.
Right.
Yet, yeah. Christ is still making a point here. Peter himself is not the rock, but he is still this rock.
There you go.
Are you confounded? You ought not to be. Because most people use this to say, Christ is my foundation, and I don't care what any other man said. You better be careful.
There you go. Yeah, you're right.
You better be careful. As God willing, I will show you why this morning. When you read this, can you not sense this? Who's he talking to? He's talking to Peter. And have you struggled with that over and over, trying to make this rock mean something other than Peter? The reason is because you're fighting against what Christ said. That's why. Now listen to the scripture concerning Christ as the rock. I'm not going to go read them because of time. I'm not going back and read all of these. There are three main places in the New Testament that speak of Christ as rock. First of all, there's 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 through 4 where Paul says that Christ was that rock that was amidst in the amongst, in the midst of our brethren in the Old Testament. That rock that followed them was Christ.
Amen.
It was Him. There were theophanies in the Old Testament. That is, pre-incarnate appearances of God in human form. He didn't take upon Himself a human form, but He appeared in human form before Christ was actually incarnated. That's called a theophany. I don't know what you call it. I'm sure there's a theological word for it, but Christ manifests Himself as a what? A rock. Now you may not gather that from the Old Testament. I don't know. I haven't went back and looked at it in all detail. But Paul, being moved of the Spirit, said that rock that followed them was Christ.
Amen.
So Christ is rock.
Yes, sir.
Secondly, He's the promised rock of offense to the Jews. Romans 9 verse 33.
Yes, sir.
And let me just read that one. Romans 9:33. You know, I know Joe said, and he's right, most people don't even like to deal with Romans 9. But the last verse, as it is written, behold, I lay. Who's the I there? Well, that's God. He's quoting from the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
He's quoting Isaiah, who is quoting God. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of what? Offense. God meant Him to be this. When you reject that, you reject that part of Christ. And you can't take Christ partially. He is bowed to for who He is. In all that He is. But it also says, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Even ashamed of that.
That's right.
I'm not ashamed that God Almighty ordained Him as a rock of offense.
No, sir. That's it.
I'm not ashamed of that. Why? Because that's who Christ is.
Yes.
Right? Now go back to 1 Peter again, chapter 2. I read it to you, but 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter says, wherefore, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. The law said, every word is going to be established at least in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Here's your second witness.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll make the third one because they're quoting back then. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone. Do you see it? Christ is the chief cornerstone.
Yes, sir.
But Peter was also a rock.
That's right.
And every other apostle was a rock.
Yes, sir.
And they were the rocks in the foundation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we are rocks built on top of that foundation.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. And if you're not being built on top of that foundation, which has both the rock and these rocks, then you're in the wrong building.
That's exactly it.
You're a different kind of building. You might be a stick house. Now, He fulfilled the promise both positively and negatively. Look, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He's precious. But what? Unto other people, what? Not so.
That's it.
Not so. Yeah. We just need to convince people that He is like this. If they're a part of that group that was what? Appointed unto this, you ain't going to convince them of nothing. You ain't going to convince them of nothing.
Exactly.
In our text, Christ refers not to Himself as any rock, but rather as the architect. You see it? Now, turn back to it. Christ is not referring to Himself as any rock here. He refers to Himself as the architect. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Peter's not building the church.
Exactly.
Christ is building the church.
Amen.
But He began to build the church upon who? Peter. Peter. Why? What's He talking about? Peter was given apostolic authority.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Apostolic authority.
Exactly.
And yet He was a fallible man.
Yes, Yes, sir.
But when God Almighty directly moved him to speak, his word was Christ's word.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When God Almighty moved him to write the epistles he wrote,
yes, sir.
That's God Almighty speaking there.
Amen. That's right.
So in our text, Christ refers not to himself as any rock, but rather as the architect. I will build. He's building the church.
Yes, sir.
Here Christ issues forth Peter's upcoming apostolic authority. We know Peter was not infallible because even after the apostolic authority was fully issued in upon him and he was baptized by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he still had his troubles. Did he not?
Oh, yeah.
Still had his troubles. He was fallible and sinful just like we are.
Sir.
But yet, you better listen to what's in this book. You better listen to this book when these men spoke.
Yeah. Right.
Better listen to it. You see, this truth in this does away with this independent spirit. Well, I'm built on Jesus Christ. I don't care about anything else. You're going to care about this book, these words spoken by these men, or you reject God and you reject Christ.
Amen.
Later, Christ confirmed this of all the apostles, yea, even the church. If you'll turn, I'm not going to, Matthew 18, the second time he ever mentions church, and he says, ye shall have the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind, all of you.
Yeah.
See? We're all stones.
Exactly.
And according to our Lord Jesus' words, now we have guidance. This is our only rule of faith and practice. We don't make up our standards. Our standard is before us.
Yeah.
So much so that if there's a person who becomes personally offensive to another, and they ultimately won't listen to the church, what did he say to do? Put them out.
Right.
Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on earth. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound in heaven.
Yeah.
Paul puts it in proper perspective. Turn to Ephesians. Got to move along. Ephesians chapter 2. Last few verses of the chapter. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Who's he writing to? Specifically to Gentiles amongst the Ephesian assembly there.
Yes, sir.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built.
Yes.
Now who is doing the building?
Yeah.
The architect's doing the building.
Yes, sir.
I will build my church.
Amen.
Right? But look.
Amen.
And are built upon the foundation of the what? Apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner.
Amen.
You see it?
Amen.
They're a part of the foundation.
Yes, sir.
They're a part of the foundation. Look, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy, what? Temple. Now the temple was made out of rock.
That's right.
Wasn't it? They hewed out stones. They hewed out rock to build the temple. Not a tabernacle.
That's right.
Although we are a tabernacle. We're a dwelling of the Spirit of God. But here we're talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is a stone building.
Amen.
In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, you ain't a part of the building if you're out there by yourself. He ain't got little blocks of rock all out there. He's building one building.
Amen.
All together.
Amen.
Fitly framed together. And if you're not a part of the building, you ain't a part at all.
Exactly.
Well, somebody says, you got to be a part of the church? Oh, yeah, you got to be a part of the church.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Because it's the church for whom Christ died. Now, if that's, you mean I got to be here? What did I just say? You got to be a part of the church, because the church is those for whom Christ died.
Amen.
And those for whom Christ died, when he calls them out, he also calls them unto something. They want to gather with other believers. Joe just read the truth of it. If God Almighty fathered you, you'll love those that are fathered of him. And when you love somebody, you want to be around them and with them.
Yes, sir.
If you don't, you're a liar when you say you love them. I've used the example, if I tell my wife I love you, but I don't want to spend time with her, she's going to know I'm a liar. Right? It's just the way it is. And people play these, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. No, but when God Almighty saves you, that's where your heart will be. That's where your desire will be. That's where your longings will be. That's where your priorities will be. Because why? First of all, even the architect is the chief corner. And that architect is building his building, his temple. And he began with the apostles and prophets, not prophets and apostles. These are New Testament apostles and prophets.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's the proper perspective. Right there it is.
Yeah.
Peter was a part of the foundation.
Yes, sir.
So much so that when you listen to Christ's words, remember in Luke 10, verse 1, and he sent out also 70 others. And you look then when he sums in verse 16, he said, whoever hears you does what? Hears me.
Amen.
And whoever doesn't hear you is not hearing me.
Exactly.
And those that are not hearing me are not hearing the Father that sent me.
Amen.
They speak for Christ.
Yeah.
They are not Christ's vicars. They don't take his place.
No.
But the mode of God's communication to humanity is through other humans.
Yes, sir.
He sent his son into this world and he spoke to us by his son, but his son has now returned. He is not individually coming down here calling people and making a little self person, little self save over here. He's gathering in a and building a building.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Here are Luke's words, Acts 2, verse 41 and 42. What they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. If you're outside of that, you're not a part of the church.
That's it.
Right? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about this. As long as I love the Lord and love his people. Joe mentioned that too. Don't happen that way. See, it's not the way Christ is building his church.
That's what it says.
Here are Paul's words. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we should, it says, let them slip. It actually, the better translation is slip away from them.
Yeah.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast,
yeah,
and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Why do I not have to work miracles and all those things today? Why do I not need all them signs? The foundation's already laid.
Amen.
It's already done. It's already been proven, David Wright, through the apostles and prophets. This man was the Christ. There's the chief cornerstone. The actual foundation's already laid. And God is building his church on that foundation.
Yes,
and it includes what these men say.
Yeah.
What they said. So much so that even in Romans 10, you know the passage. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that don't mean Jesus' name is a lucky rabbit's foot.
Exactly.
Or just some talisman. Or just some chant. He said you can't call if you don't believe first. You can't believe unless you've heard. And you can't hear unless God sends somebody to preach to you. He's not going to come down himself personally and visit you in your bedroom. He's going to send a messenger to you.
Amen.
That's a part of the body, the church.
Yeah.
One of those lively stones. And he'll send that person to you with the gospel. And you'll be, if you are ever a part, he will build you into his church. And or however the best way is to say it, David. But he'll put you in the church by that instrumentality or you won't be a part of it.
That's right.
Well, what about Cornelius? Cornelius was while this was all being established.
Sir.
He's not going to send some angel down to you. Mm-mm. He's going to send another sinner that's a sinner just like you to preach the gospel to you. He's going to call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because I've never met one person that heard a message from an angel or from God himself that ever believed the truth. It's always some lie and trash.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Always.
Exactly.
If you hear from God, if I hear from God, it will be by God's instrumentality according to Christ's building. I will build my church this way.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said? Upon this rock. Now, yes, he is the rock, but there's also this rock.
That's right.
And you're not a part of the building if you're not being built on that foundation.
There you go.
Is that clear enough?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite simple now, ain't it?
Yep.
I don't have to read Matthew chapter 16 anymore and wonder what he was talking about if you just bow down to what he said.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh? Now, next week, the church belongs to Christ. I know he belongs to him by redemption, but I mean more than that.
Yeah.
He said, I will build my church.
Amen.
My church. Father, be with us as we continue, as we take this table. May it truly be in remembrance of thee. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And as I said, I asked Joe if he would do this morning. So Joe, you come on up here and take care of this, please.